Hey, my friends, welcome back to another episode of Notes from the Edge. I'm your host, Lisa Lacey, and today we have a special guest, T.A. Thompson. Today we're going to explore conversations that shape who we become. Remember, this is the place where we talk about the things we should have been talking about all along, the things we aren't talking about, but we will in here. And today we're joined with author T.A. Thompson, creator of The Mark, a dystopian thriller that asks a really great question. And you know how much we like the good questions in here. What happens to humanity when everyone knows they're going to die young? His novel explores survival, power, motherhood, morality, and what happens when consequences begin to disappear. Through a ruthless yet deeply human female anti-hero, hello, TA invites readers to wrestle with uncomfortable questions about leadership, identity, and what we're truly capable of when our future feels uncertain. And how many of us are walking around feeling uncertain right now? And what are we doing with that energy? I'm excited to explore not only the story behind The Mark, but the psychology behind the why. Welcome to Notes from the Edge, TA. Thanks so much for being a guest. How are you today, my friend?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I'm excited too. Well, listen, you have been very busy growing your community of readers. You bring a unique mindset to the world of fiction. We always open up with our guests' kind of origin story. We want to know what brought you here to this point, not on this podcast, but in terms of your life's work, what direction it has taken, what brought you to this? Because it's not a direction everybody goes.
No, and it's a tough direction. I don't know how many people, once I said I've written a book, the next thing out of their mouth is, I want to write a book. I have good ideas, but nobody sits down and takes the time to do it. And
Yeah,
it's hard. It
everybody
can be
has a book
very
in
hard.
them.
Yes. So to answer your question, I don't know. It's a big conglomeration of things. It's kind of a mess, actually. I've always loved writing. I've always enjoyed
We love
writing.
messes in here. We
I
love
know.
messes in here.
I know. And
Yay.
it's great. That's why I'm glad I'm
Be
on.
a
But I've
mess.
always been, even as a kid, I was always on like the darker side of things. I just enjoyed things not going well, or just, I guess I was the one who, like, if you fell down and got hurt, I was pointing and laughing. Like, I'm kind of a jerk
Sometimes
that way.
it is
I've
funny.
matured. I've matured. But that happened. But I always like dark endings. I don't like things that end with all of the loose ends tied up and everybody happy and going on their merry little way. Like all of this, the Disney princess movies, just
Yeah, I get it.
burn
I
them.
get it. I
Burn
do
them.
like kind of my stuff wrapped up. My husband likes it like open-ended in a way you're like, what the fuck? You know, the ones that end like that's what you're talking about. Yeah, he would love it. He would love it.
Give them the book. Let them read it.
Well, we're excited to. We're excited to.
Good.
So, okay. So what writing though? When did you go, okay, I want to do this. I want to write this book.
So The Mark is actually the second book that I wrote. The first one hasn't been published yet. And that one, who, when was that? That was probably 10-ish years ago. And that was because
Okay.
my daughter, she said, when I was little, I tried to take one of those safety caps off of an outlet and like stick something in it, but I couldn't get it off. So my mind immediately went, okay, she would have got electrocuted and what would have happened? And then it went off like just spiraling, right? And then it was like, well, what
Yeah.
if it jump started her brain and it did this and it did that? So like I just got this huge idea and I sat down and I wrote a book. No outline,
Amazing.
no looking anything up. I just
It
sat
just
down and
flowed
wrote it.
straight through. Yeah. Oh, those are the best.
I enjoyed the heck out of that. And then so with The Mark, I had taken a biology class in college, and I went to college late. I think I took it in my early 30s. And I had to write a report on telomeres. And essentially they are connected to your DNA and they tell the DNA how many times it can replicate. And then once it says you can't, no more replication.
Oh.
So I got this idea, well, what if instead of it like working all the way down and saying, okay, now you just can't replicate anymore or whatever, you age. What if it got to a certain point and it just killed the cell, and then it killed all the cells in the body? And
then you're dead.
And then you're dead. You just drop, which is
everybody dies.
One of the things in the book. Yeah, exactly. Everybody dies. It's like Game of Thrones. So then, okay. you
went all the way with it.
Oh yeah. It was fun. And then I'm like, okay, well, what age would be really good for this to happen at? You don't want it to happen when people are teenagers. That just makes for a boring story. And I don't want people to be too old and too knowledgeable, because then they can, they can still make things function and have things work. So I said early 20s is a good time to have that happen. So.
Oh yeah. My daughter's 24. She's still an idiot.
I have everybody die in this
every week. We had to go unclog her toilet the other day. I was like, are you kidding me?
That's
I
your
know
fault.
I've taught you,
you
how to use
taught her
blender.
To do that.
I know. Bad mom. I remember the first time she tried to pump gas, she was like, I don't know how to do this. I was like, oh my God, I've never taught you how to do this. It's the weird things you forget to teach your kids. But figure it out.
I love teaching my kids to pump gas, especially in the winter.
Oh my gosh.
It's all
go no, get out.
Get out
of the car. Yeah. Get out of the car. Perfect age. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. About 20 to 25-ish?
So 22 is like when it was engineered to happen. So that the whole thing happened in 2030.
Okay.
The story actually takes place 500 years later.
Right.
So
okay.
People's DNA has evolved a little bit. Things have changed. So the story follows the main character. Her name's Alexandra. And she has lived to the ripe old age of 25.
Oh, so is she like Queen Bee?
Well, people think she's a freak because she's lived that long. Why has she lived that long? What has she done? She must be a bad person, things like that. And part of that is her own fault, because she expected to die at 22 like everybody else, maybe 23. How am I now 24? Oh my gosh, I'm 25. I'm going to die any second. So she lives life like there are no consequences, because there aren't. If you're going to die any second, who cares what the consequences of your actions are?
Yeah, I have an interesting side note to tell you about my own life. I have a congenital blood disease. It's a clotting disorder. And literally, I have to live like that. Because even on blood thinners, I could throw a clot to my brain, my heart, or my lungs. And I've survived like 10 pulmonary embolisms. We call me a cockroach around here. Like, I have to take my medical records with me to hospitals because they do not believe me. I'm like some weird medical anomaly. But yeah, I live like that.
I had a friend who used to be an EMT, and he was like, if someone had a PA, we just hurried up and got him to the hospital before they died, so we didn't have to do the paperwork.
Well, because,
yeah.
Statistically, 30 to 50% of people drop with one clot in their lung, and I've had massive in both lungs on multiple occasions. Insane. But anyway, I'm here to be doing this podcast. I swear, that may sound like the funniest thing, but I made it here. Long story, but go ahead. I'll get it.
So is your husband like, damn it, 10 times, just go.
Actually, he did tell me to shut the fuck up the other day. He's very stressed right now, and he is an asshole when he's stressed. He's taking over the family shop. And it's stressing him out because he has to deal with people. Peopling is very hard. So anyway, back to your book. I get it. So she's 25. She's like, am I going to drop dead? Am I going to get killed because I'm a freak? So I love it. I love it so far.
So she decides, like, I'm going to do what I think is right, or I'm going to do what I want, or I'm going to do what makes me feel good. And I don't care about the rules. I don't care who gets hurt by me doing it. And that's just how she lives life. She, like, the very beginning of the book starts off with her on a suicide mission because her life doesn't matter anymore. She's going to die in any second. Like, she's just hoping, like, I need to get through this and save these people, and then I can die because, I don't want them to be here. And then, she gets back to town, and then she wants to train with her son because they because people die so early, they separate the kids at 5 years old and put them in their own little area, and they're taken care of by preceptors. So the fact that she still gets to go and work with her son, and he's almost 10 years old, that's unheard of. So people are jealous of it. They give him extra work to do, and she's like, I don't care, we're gonna go do it, and to hell with the consequences, it doesn't matter. And that's just how she looks at and handles everything.
Wouldn't that be interesting if we all lived like that?
No, I don't think it would. I think it would be complete anarchy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if you find that interesting,
I'm grabbing a sword. That's my weapon when the zombies come. My husband and I talk about that all the time. I'm a martial artist. I trained it for 11 years. Like, I have belts in three disciplines, but I'm grabbing a sword. That's my weapon of choice. Yeah.
Well, I'll help you. I will run at the zombies and slow them down because I don't want to live there.
And then I have to chop your head off. That's how that goes.
That's fine. I'll be dead. Okay. I'll be a zombie.
Okay. Then I'll have to chop your head off. Okay. All right. Let me get to some of these questions. I knew we were going to go down some rabbit holes. Hang on. This is important. All right. Female. I love the fact that you have a female anti-hero rather than traditional hero. So why was she the right person to tell this story?
So why is she the right person? Because of the whole premise of the book is really around motherhood. Like, she wants to save her son. That is her driving goal for every decision that she makes. And I've always felt like the mama bear instinct is stronger than the papa bear instinct, right? You hear about things like that. And I just felt like having a really fierce woman fighting for her son, willing to do anything to rescue him, it was just a great figure. And then when you get to the end, it strengthens the end of the book even more with the different decisions that she has to make with saving him.
I love it. I love that you went with that. And I think so many women need to see more women showing up in books as the hero. Because as you well know, in stories, we want to see ourselves in them, right? That's why we write, so people can see themselves in it. We write for ourselves first and then for others.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but hearing you say we write for ourselves before we write for others, because that's what I did. Both books. I wrote something that I found interesting, that I found funny and amusing, and I wanted to see how it would end, how each scenario or each scene was going to end, because I didn't know. I just knew I had to get her to the end, and here's the different things, obstacles I was putting in front of her, and I wanted to see how she got through them.
I love it. And I love when it just channels right through you. Mm-hmm. So I was hospitalized at the beginning of the year, almost died again. Embolisms, cluster of them. They go, you got a cluster of embolisms. I go, how many? They go, we don't know. I say, you don't think they count? What the fuck's a cluster?
It's just a Tuesday.
Is that just three? A Tuesday for you. What is that, 20? It's a big fucking difference. Like, I gotta know. They didn't count. Anyway. So I almost died, and then I turned 50 2 weeks after. We had big, grandiose plans, and I was like, fuck all y'all. I'm going off to the woods. So I got a cabin.
To die? Were you walking off to die like a dog?
I didn't know, but I brought my dog. I brought my 21-year-old Italian Greyhound, who I've had since I was 3 months old. We went to the mountains by ourselves, and I turned 50 on a Wednesday, and I was crying because I was turning 50 on a Wednesday, looking over this beautiful mountain view. And you'll love this as a writer, because I've always been a writer, storyteller, performer is actually my background. I went into corporate work to support, you know, a family that's so appreciative. My daughter actually said we were poor. I was like, poor? I was like, you had your hair and nails done when you were 12. Stop it. Oh, my God. when I was a kid, we
French ate French manicured. All right.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus. All right. Back to your stuff. I digress. I think we should have you on for part two.
And that'll just be a bullshit session.
We're already scheduling a part two. All right. I loved that you said obstacles. When you're writing, how do you know what obstacles to put in front of her?
That
is it coming tough... from your own life?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah, if you were to read the book, as the obstacles go along, you're like, there's no way in hell this would happen to anybody. Because it all really is, for the most part, it's caused by the environment that she's in, right? 500 years in the future with nobody running power plants, nobody cleaning up, nobody working on infrastructure. So those aren't things we're going to see. There are some things where we can relate, but most of the obstacles that I put in front of her were, you know, dealing with certain types of people that are very rare to find in today's day and age. Thank you, laws. Or, you know, having to do rescue scenarios. That's definitely not anything that I would see. So right. I had to just kind of think, you know, one, what's going to be interesting? And two, what is going to make the story progress? And three, what's going to help her character arc? Because she has to go from this selfish, narcissistic, I don't care person and grow into the mama bear and then turn into someone who can relate and get other people to empathize with her so that she can work with them. So she's super violent and she'll kick anybody's ass, but actually having to talk to people and try to be diplomatic about things. I mean, that's like, that was like a 2-year-old learning to write for her.
I love her already. Oh my God. Did you write a book about me? Oh yeah. I was talking to my new coach. I was like, I think I want to try to learn how to set some boundaries with more finesse. So All right. So I spend a lot of time talking about trauma in here, how it changes the way people think and behave. And your story explores survival in a different context. Do you think people discover who they are under pressure, extreme circumstances? Do you think this changes people?
I mean, you could probably find answers to go both ways, you know, with people. But if you want to paint in broad strokes, I would say, yeah, it would make people discover who they are and help to shape them into a different version of themselves.
You know what, though, TA, you brought up a good point. Some people ain't going to change.
No, they're not. They just, you know, if they're someone who just lets life run them over, putting them into a stressful situation, they're just going to be like, whatever, and then get run over. So it's not going to change for everybody, but I do feel like you're going to have people who really shine in those moments where they may not have shined in, you know, a typical setting.
I love that you could shine in adversity and shine under pressure. I like that. Shine under pressure. Keep that one. That's good. All right. Your background is in commercial insurance, where you're constantly thinking about risk and worst case scenarios, which you actually love.
I do.
How has that career shaped the worlds you build and the decisions and the characters that you make?
Well, like you said, worst case scenarios, they're always running through my head. And when you're in a dystopian post-apocalyptic world, it's all worst case scenarios. So, you know, when everybody over 22 dies, what's going to happen? What's the worst case scenario they're going to be? You lose physicians, you lose surgeons, you lose lawyers, you lose a significant part of your police force, fire department, you lose power plants, you lose manufacturing, like all of that stuff just goes in the toilet. And who do you have that's actually has
capable
at that age, who has power you have gangs, right? They're already consolidated and strong, and they're not going to be losing as many people because gangs tend to be, you know, younger people. So yeah, then they can just start taking over because of the mentality that they have. And everybody else is like, I don't know what to do right now. I've never been put in this situation. This shouldn't be happening to me. So that really drove like trying to build the foundation of what the world was going to look like. And there are some places in the world where you still have the gang mentality and like raiders as the leaders and things like that. And then you've had other communities that have separated from that and tried to build their own form of government and their own form of society and civilization. And what I did so that it wasn't all boring and just blah, like going from Livingston, where she's from, to New Sparta, you don't want them to be the same. That would be boring. So I did a whole different form of government and way that they are ruled in Livingston and completely different in New Sparta. And even the way they dress is different. How they've evolved is different. So people in Livingston tend to live a little bit longer on average, where people in New Sparta are bigger and they're stronger. And that's why they've taken on like that name. Like they've really focused themselves around being like Spartans from ancient Greece. I mean, you don't have guns. You don't have those types of weapons.
It sounds like what would happen if that happened. It would totally happen that way. Yeah.
I mean, sure. I would like to think so. And I had a couple other communities in there too, but I was really just exploring and playing around with the different options of what I thought could happen or what I found interesting that could possibly happen, and kind of threw them all together and then made her navigate through those to see how she would interact with each one and where she would shine in those moments of adversity.
I love that. I love that. So morality. Let's talk about morality, because it goes out the window, right, in the book. What do you think this allows us to explore about our own human nature?
What we would do if there's no consequences.
That's a scary thought.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. I mean, if you would have asked me 10 years ago what I would have done, I would have been like, well, there's this list of people that I don't want here anymore. That list, fortunately,
I've grown up. Exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. And at that point, it's like, okay, well, maybe I'll try experimenting with different things.
You know
what's
so sad? I think I would still try to be a nice person, but I would have to kill a lot of people. But I would still try to be a nice person. But
how do you reconcile those two together?
You can be, two truths can exist at the same time.
And I agree with you, but how can you justify to yourself, I'm a nice person, I just killed them?
Because it was a necessity, so...
To you, right. But what about to them or to their family?
Oh, I wouldn't care about that. Maybe I'm
see, here's the moral dilemma, right?
Here's
here.
The dilemma.
Exactly. And it's here's, immorality. You know, here's a little bit of what was
it's beautiful. What we just walked right into that too. I love it.
I mean, that is one of the things that's
the question,
explore.
Isn't it?
Well, one of the people that you spoilers, yeah, sorry. But one of the people you find out, he's from this other town called Huron, and they're not as smart, and their life expectancy isn't as long. So like kind of on the opposite spectrum in terms of life from where Alexander is at. So he even has, he probably has less time than her, if you want to look at it from that point of view, but he is still the one making the moral decisions and deciding like, this isn't right, we shouldn't do it. Where she's just like, it's in my way. I'm going to remove it from the board. So having that contradiction in there and then seeing them butt heads, it really helps with both of their character arcs. And I really enjoyed putting those two together to kind of, it was kind of an oil and water situation to see how it was going to come out.
Yeah, those are always interesting situations. Your writing sounds very skillful. Did you train in writing? Have you always been a writer, or has this been a dream for a long time?
It's been a dream, and I've read a lot of books. So
gotcha.
I just took the knowledge that I had from reading and sat down and just started writing. And fortunately, I'm naturally good at it.
Nice.
I could probably benefit from a creative writing class. Everybody can get better. But yeah. I also think that would pull away some of my style and some of my ability, because then I would be too worried about, okay, am I doing this within the bounds of...
Am I doing it right?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Am I doing there it within no the right structure yeah. where now I like to come up with my endings and then figure yeah. out how I'm going to get there. And sometimes I'll use an outline. Sometimes I won't. Sometimes I'll have the outline and then, you know, get to a certain point and go, hey, I don't need this anymore, or I don't like that, and just, you know, crumble it up, throw it away, and move on.
Exactly. Exactly. You got to have your own process, and you got to respect your own process too. You got to respect your own process. Okay. If readers finish reading The Mark and walk away thinking about one thing differently, what do you want that to be?
It would be the concept of time. I'm 47 years old. I think I've got another 30 years in me, right? But what if I don't? What if I don't? And if I keep putting things off because I'll get to it later, what am I missing out on? I could be missing out on time with my kids. I could be missing out on time with my wife. I could be missing out on travel and new experiences. And up to a certain point in my life, I was like that. I'm like, I have to take care of my family. I don't have time to go do things. Fortunately, I have the time now, and I'm able to take advantage of that. And I'm really trying to wrap that mindset around myself. And I would love for the readers to take that away too. Just take some time to enjoy things.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it's interesting, TA. My husband and I just last week were having a discussion, and he's 16 years younger than me, by the way. I know, right? He's a hottie too, but I didn't know it at the time, because he grayed early and he had a full beard. And when I found out how old he was, I was like, oh shit, I'm out of here. I didn't think it was going to work, but a small voice told me to lean in, and I listened, and I'm so glad I did, because we're celebrating 8 years clean together.
That's awesome.
So yeah. But we were having a conversation about mortality. Because he happens to have a fear of people dying on him, and he married a woman with a congenital blood disease. So it's interesting how our partners will bring out whatever teachings we need, because he said, you're not afraid of death. I'm more afraid of you dying than you are. So I think I have to think differently now, especially after my hospitalization earlier in the year, about what I do with my time. It's valuable. It's a resource. Our energy is too. So, you know, our energy is a privilege, and we get to choose where to put it. And we don't know. And here's the thing. At the end of the day, because I work as a death doula too, I'm a certified death doula. When you're lying there, you're not thinking about the house, the boat, the car, the fancy shoes. You're thinking about your memories and your regrets. And I want very few regrets to be that I missed out on memories now. So I try to be as present as possible, but damn, it's hard when life hits. But I love the concept of this book. I love the fact that you had fun the whole way. Like, it doesn't sound like it was a trudge for you. You enjoyed the process.
Why do it if it's not fun?
Exactly.
I'm doing this for my own enjoyment and creativity, and as an escape from my work. So if it was actually work in and of itself, I wouldn't have done it.
Work on work. Yeah. Who wants work on work? No, yeah. It's yeah. Not, it's an outlet. It's your outlet. I can see it. I can see it. You glow when you talk about it. So we can't wait to get our hands on it. We're going to grab a copy of it. Everybody else grab a copy of it. It sounds like it'll make you think. You really put yourself in the character's position, Alexandra's position of what would I do? Because we don't know until we're put into the position. We can say all day long, I'd do A, B, C, or D. but you absolutely don't know until you're put in that position. Well, TA, before we wrap up, we always ask our guests a couple of questions, same questions. First question is, in your life, what did you perform in order to survive? And what happened for you when you dropped the role, the mask, or the performance?
You know, you gave me this question ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And I went, what the hell am I going to say to that?
First thing that comes to mind.
Being an adult, I think. And the reason that I say that is I had my family really young. Like my oldest daughter was born when I was 20. Mm. And I wasn't ready to be an adult. Like you said, yeah. Your daughter is what, 25 or something? And you said she's still dumb. She's
24 and a half.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 47 and I'm still dumb. So having to be
dumb. I'm smarter than all y'all. I ain't saying I'm dumb to myself anymore. No. We don't do that.
Well, that's awesome.
Now, you guys, though, I don't know if you ever grow up. Honestly, I'm just saying.
I'm 12. When people are like, well, how old are you like mentally 12?
Be young. Be 12. Yeah. Be have fun. Joy and pleasure and play. And that's what you want. That's what you want. Anyway, we digress. Where were we?
I was saying my performance was being an adult and then, you know, having to be a parent at a young age and having to make sure that I was providing for my family.
Perform that. Yeah.
And I did because I didn't know how to do it. And I really had to force myself to get into that mindset and do it. And it couldn't be all about me anymore because that's what it was for so long. And then eventually, I don't know, it took a few years, but it just was like, okay, I'm just an adult now, not a kid pretending to be an adult. I'm an adult and I'm doing my adult things. And I didn't have to put that extra thought into it and pretend to be the adult that I didn't feel like I was. A lot of that had to do with just gaining confidence in myself and maturing and seeing that I could do it to begin with. I mean, if I can do it when I'm, you know, faking it, I can do it when I am an actual adult.
Fake it till you make it. Yeah. Exactly. And kids are hard. Kids, I mean, they turn everything upside down. You've got to change head to toe, you know? So yeah. 20 and 20 is young. I went backpacking in Alaska for 6 months with a friend. We spent a lot of time in the tent. I came back knocked up with the kid.
Not much hiking got done.
We did go hiking. We went portaging one with a 100,000 pound canoe. I was like, I'm pregnant. What the fuck? Anyway. So I love that. Performing, being adult. Yeah, I can totally see that. That's a great answer to that. Okay, last question, because this is the place where we have the conversations we need to be having all along. What do you think we need to be talking about more that we're not?
Everyone needs to go to therapy.
Thank you.
Therapy was one of the best things I ever did, and it really helped me decide who I wanted to be moving forward, get rid of baggage. And you know, I'm actually glad you asked this because it comes back to something I wanted to comment on that you said. Where do I want to put my energy, right? Do I want to be mad and pissed off all the time? Or do I just want to be chill and enjoy myself
and have fun and
be happy? Yeah. I used to be not like a maniacal road rager, but I'd hit my horn. I'd yell at people, you know. Now someone cuts me off most of the time. I'm just like, whatever. I'm still going to get where I'm going.
I have a felony for aggravated assault. I used to get pissy with people.
See, you need therapy.
I'm like 10, you're $200,000 worth. They still ain't be able to fix this shit yet. So yeah. This is the best you get. That's what I told my husband. I said, this is the effect of years of therapy. You are getting the benefit up. We are done.
Do you feel like doing this is therapeutic?
Absolutely. What this does for me is brings me joy. And for 6 years now, you know, when the pandemic hit, I was still doing some corporate stuff, but I was doing QHHT, quantum healing hypnosis, full time in my studio. But you have to do those in person. They're hypnotic sessions. Dolores Cannon takes half the day to do. Very expensive. But then the pandemic hit. So then I did online coaching, and I was doing some heavy duty trauma coaching for a little while there. And that was a bit of a downer. So, this was a windy road, right? Nothing is linear. It was a windy road, much like your journey from insurance to writer, to get to this place. But what I love is I get to connect with fascinating people who have done the work, who are trying to help people. And it's been absolutely amazing. It's been an amazing journey, and I'm good at it too. Like, I've been on some shows where people could go to, there are courses and classes you can take. And I think my performance background helps, but it's bringing me joy. And it's been a while since this type of work has brought me joy. So I'm enjoying you guys so much. I want to promote you guys as much as possible because I want you guys to be successful, because I think what you're putting out into the world is so freaking needed. So yeah, I really think everything I've done in my life is being used right now. And I think that's why it is performing as well as it is, as well as having some pretty top-notch guests like yourself on here. So yeah.
That has got to be a great feeling.
I'm leaning into it. I usually just skip right over and like, what's next? What's next? What's next? But I'm really trying to sit in this moment and enjoy it and just hang on for the ride. Hang on for the ride, because I think we're on the right path. And I think once the book launches, because it's an insider's view into the psychiatric arena as a psychiatric patient, and I think some of the treatment that's meant to help is inhumane. And the minute you walk into any institution to be institutionalized, you lose your dignity the second the door closes. So I'm hoping that people, especially clinicians who read it, will kind of come at their clients a little differently. So, and early readers have already seen themselves in it, pieces of themselves. So it's good stuff, but I did have to put some of mom in there. So I'm gonna have to listen to that shit. I'm gonna have to listen to her tell me it didn't happen. Listen to this. Let me tell you something funny. Okay. So Dogs Don't Gaslight is a memoir. I've got three back to back. We're going to publish them back to back. But Dogs Don't Gaslight might be the second one. I was raised in Louisiana, Pearl River, Louisiana. It's by the Honey Island Swamp. It's okay. Louisiana is in the fucking water, the whole state. Okay. I was born in New Orleans, raised in Pearl River, which is down here. So my first chapter in Dogs Don't Gaslight is about being raised in the trailer park in the swamps. And my mom goes, can you write a book about being raised in the swamps if you weren't raised in the swamps? I was like, what? She was like, yeah. She was like, you weren't raised in the swamps. I said, mom, there was ponds on our land and you told me not to go by them or gators would kill me. Like, seriously. Like, and then she goes, remember, they're shell roads, not gravel roads. I said, our driveway was a gravel road. She goes, yes, I know, but there's no gravel in Louisiana. She's nitpicking details. See, because I let her read that one. Don't let them read it. Don't let them read the book until it comes out. But anyway, I digress. So I am so excited to meet authors like yourself. We've had many authors on here. I want our books to be successful. I think they can change lives. How? Because if we can just get people to stop long enough to reflect on their own life, to ask the better questions, to ask friends as we close out, what did you perform in order to survive? Is it still serving you? And if it's not, how much will your life change if you just decided to ditch it? The mask, the role, the performance. All right, TA, thank you so much. This has been a blast. We're definitely going to have you on again for your next book. Everybody pick up The Mark. We'll put a link for it so you can pick it up and reach out to TA and give him great reviews and great feedback on the beautiful adventure and whole entire fantasy world he has created that could come true one day. We don't know. All right, guys. Yeah, let's hope not. I kind of want to. I want my sword. So anyway, Lisa with a sword.
No, and we close out
with that. Lisa with a sword. Welcome to the Edge, guys. We'll see you next time.